Oh, shit.
Didn't tap enough.
Bar reg.
What did you call me?
You heard
called
him.
You a bar reg, you filthy scumbucket.
Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
Bar reg.
No, he's the bar reg.
You're really...
gunning for your job.
And Jenna. No, you don't want that.
No, I don't.
You don't want that at all.
No.
What the fuck just happened?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're here, and we're back, and
we're
drinking.
I like booze.
Maybe. James?
Maybe. Oh, my God. Take forever with
it. We'll find out. Well, yours is open. You drink yours.
Yeah, mine's open. I'm going to drink. The boys are beering, so I'm having a Crown Royale apple.
Mine was also excited.
Which we have had before, so. Mm-hmm. Still tastes like a Crown Royale with a Washington apple.
Funny how that works out.
Right, yeah. The flavor has not changed since I had one last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. A bit ago.
James and I are drinking very excited beers.
So excited.
Look pretty, and it's been a while.
Even with the standard tap, they still got a little bit wooshy. Mm. So it
happens to every can. At least once.
Exactly. You know, so, yeah. I mean, they saw us, they got woo-hoo. And that was just,
they saw me and got excited. It's long hair. Let's be real.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Anyway. We are drinking New Glarus beer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We are drinking strawberry rhubarb.
Yay!
Yeah.
And having urgently sipped some of the expanding foam, it is delicious.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and trust
it's
you
It's a
on
little
that.
More tart than I was expecting it to be. I was
You're tart.
Yes, but I was honestly I was expecting it to be sweeter, but it really focuses on the rhubarb a bit more than the strawberry, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, teased from the loam by the kiss of the sun, Mom's strawberry rhubarb delights are the happy memories of childhood.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm enjoying that immensely.
Nice. Yeah.
What y'all been up to?
So much.
I got stories. So last time, I talked about, my reproductive organs.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to talk about my secondary reproductive organs. Specifically, so when you have
the
parts
Jenna
I do,
get laid more often.
She really puts the Jenna in genital.
Oh, ooh. I might use that later. But no, so specifically, when you have the body parts I do, you go into the doctor and you say, hey, doctor, I have these parts. And the doctor says, oh, well, then we're going to need to do this test and 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 this test. Like, you just, there's a lot going on with that entire system.
I do feel like the first half of that script was written by a man, though.
Well, yeah.
Hey, doctor, I have these parts.
Yeah.
I
put a toaster back together.
But
I have all
basically,
these extra pieces.
And I'm stealing this from conversation that happened while we weren't recording. Your two basics are your mammy and your pappy.
Yeah.
Was that you, Salsa, that came up with that?
That was a Salsa.
Yep.
See, I'm willing to give credit to Salsa for that, as opposed to stealing the credit like some people do with garlic and onions. So
people steal garlic and onions?
Actually, they probably do if
these
they're
are
really
dark
hungry.
Times
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I think James told me that once.
Fuck you. You know what? I'm taking the credit back. But no, you go in for like, you know, you have your overall conversation, but then you have the pap smear where they basically look inside and be like, yep, that's an inside.
Yeah.
Take a little swab. That's exciting. And then ship that back for some testing. And if they see anything concerning, then you have all sorts of other possible exams that happen after that. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the pappy. And then the mammy is the mammogram, where they take your breast.
And they sing to it.
Oh, God, I wish. No, they smush it in between two plates.
And serve it with whipped cream.
Oh, that'd be nice, cherries. Too. No. No, it's a panini press. It is not. This is not a delicate thing.
So they serve it with Gouda.
Oh, yes. Dr. Yes. George Foreman.
And I will say,
top to bottom, like horizontally or vertically, or how does
So it's usually they smush your boob flat, so mm-hmm. horizontal smush.
Okay.
That's a part of the
both
basic.
Both at the same time or one at a time?
One each.
Okay.
Yep. You got to make sure to align. That's the most intense part of this is aligning your breast properly on a plate. To make sure that it will get smushed in the right way to capture as much imaging as possible.
Gotcha.
So, like, you're in there and, like, they give you, like, a little front open robe thing and they're like, okay, we're going to look at this breast first. And so you take one breast out like you're Janet Jackson.
Right.
And you take this thing and you pop it on the
So it just has one
thing.
Hole in the middle and you just move the hole to one side or the other?
It's open in the front.
Oh, it's a robe.
Sorry.
It would be like wearing an unzipped hoodie.
Gotcha.
And you just
I'm used to hospital robes that are open in the back. So yeah. That's why I was...
No, I said open in the front.
Different from that.
It's fun. You don't listen to me anyway. So anyway. But, yeah, so it's open in the front. And pull out a breast.
Mm-hmm.
And you pop it on this plate.
Mm-hmm.
And they can adjust where the plate is, which is
goodness.
Great because
they
I need
have
a
to
step
get you
stool.
A stool. Yeah.
You toss your breast on this plate. And then the technician is like, I'm just going to readjust this for proper imaging. And they tell you exactly how to stand. They're like, stick your butt out. And I'm like, okay. Because that helps lean forward to readjust the whatever. I'm like, this is so different than like anything else that I do. they're like, I'm just gonna grab a little bit more breast and pull it onto the plate here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. It's a fucking thing. And then once it's properly aligned, they're like, okay, take a breath, don't breathe. And they smush it down.
Yeah.
So now your breast is being pinched in between these two plates.
Mm-hmm.
I almost called them breastplates.
All right. I
mean, it's canon
kind
now.
Kind of.
Yep.
It's literally what they are.
And then they're like, take a breath and hold it. And then you hold it and they do the little like kind of imaging thing. And they're like, okay, you can breathe. And then you do. And then they do that with the other boob.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic one. Mm-hmm. That's I think that's the 2D mm-hmm. whatever. My insurance covers the 3D, which means I also get to have my breasts examined at a 45-degree angle.
Ah.
So this machine, this super cool machine, just kind of the bottom plate,
mm-hmm.
the whole plate system just rotates.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being horizontal, it's now at a 45.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And so you basically put your armpit on top and you shove your breast over there. And then there's a lot more readjusting. And and then they smush your...
Smush it down again.
They smush it. But that way they're getting, you know, more of the intersection of the breast. It's not just one direction. They can see all sorts of angles. And yeah. So they do that and then you're done.
Hmm.
Like it's real quick, real easy.
Does it hurt much? Like how squished are they?
They're fairly squished.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people complain about how painful it was.
Okay.
I found it more like disturbingly uncomfortable than painful.
Sure. Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just like, oh, well, and there was a part of it, like, for one of the smushes, I was like, man, I've had rougher sex than this. Like, I was just like, no, I've had a 20-something just yank on my breasts before.
Yeah.
I've breastfed. I've had a baby yank on my boobs harder than this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not,
okay.
So, yeah, but it still wasn't pleasant.
Sure.
And it was kind of,
right.
like I right. said, disturbingly kind of just like,
right. Okay.
So yeah, but I did that. And then I had posted a Facebook about it because I have no shame. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go get my mammogram. One of my friends was like, did you schedule your mammogram today on purpose? And I'm like, what? I accidentally got a mammogram.
No, I accidentally scheduled a day.
I accidentally scheduled a mammogram on National Mammogrammy Day.
Oh, whoa! Huh.
I was like, oh, is that why there's pink shit all over the place?
That's
all right,
fantastic.
There you go.
So yeah, even when I don't try, I fucking succeed, bitches.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
time and under budget.
Talk about failing upward.
Yeah, doesn't get to happen to me too often, but when it does, nailed it. So yeah, and then the images, because of technology these days, they basically just did instant. Up the report.
Yeah.
And like popped it into my chart thing, which everybody should have access to a my chart type application.
I love it.
Oh, yep. So good.
I love it.
So yeah, they did their little report. So I got to see, like, they're like, here's the notes. Nothing looks like cancer. Good job.
All right.
Keep on keeping on.
Fantastic.
They have, and I don't understand this much as this part as much, but they've got like different levels of fibrousness that happens inside the breast, right? Mm-hmm. Like different
mm-hmm.
Things.
Internal consistencies?
Yeah. Numbers that mean different things about your breasts.
Things that doctors care about.
Things that doctors care about. And so, like, I apparently have maybe some bumpy things in there, but none of it is cancerous looking.
Not as cute as your cervix, though.
No, I have an adorable cervix.
So, yeah. I mean...
So I've heard.
Fascinating
cervix.
One of the few things on this podcast that sets a high bar.
Fascinating. So, yeah. So I got to look at that right away, and I'm like, oh, cool. Great. Guess I don't have breast cancer. Don't have to wait around for a phone call on that.
That's good.
Cool.
That is really good.
So yeah, it's and I have another doctor's appointment this Friday, again, because I have the parts that I do, but we're going to follow up with all the stuff that had happened previous to be like, all right, so we did all these things. Here's where you're at. Here's where we can go with your other, the stuff that came up in ultrasound and have conversations on that. So. but yeah, that is basically how I accidentally had a mammogram on National Mammogram Day.
That's fantastic.
Otherwise, my world has been Klingon rehearsals and Twin Cities Horror Fest prep. So, you should go to the Horror Fest. It opens this week.
Talk
about that more during plugs. But boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy.
It's been some work.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
One day I had two fight rehearsals, a production meeting, and some Horror Fest load-in stuff to take care of. And I was just like, well, I just worked a 10-hour day and got paid for none of it.
Yep.
That's my life.
Huh.
James.
So, this was LAN party weekend. And it was really good. We watched a couple of movies. We watched the movie Frankenhooker and the movie Terror Vision, and they are equally terrible for kind of the same reasons. They were both made in the 1980s, and it shows.
But I love 1980s.
Oh, I do too. But it was as if somebody looked at Gremlins and said, "How can we put more bare breasts into this movie?"
Without
writing any particular reason for it to happen.
And in the 80s, the answer was,
Just do it.
Yeah.
Why are you asking permission?
Yeah.
So, I talked about breasts, and now you're talking about breasts.
Uh-huh.
All right. Just catching a theme.
I'm excited to see where Salsa goes with this theme.
I'm not.
This is exactly
what I expected. Salsa talking about breast is not... Nope. Put the shirt back on.
I'm sorry, buddy. I tried. So, the...
Continue, James.
The other thing that we did was to purchase and download Jackbox Games' brand newest pack of games, which are, like, adult versions. They're, like, specifically, like...
Okay, this is like blue humor.
Kind of sexy, kind of flirt. Like at one point, one of the questions was, on a scale of 0 to 5, how likely are you to come from getting head? Right? Not exactly in those words, but that was the question, paraphrased. And that's not a usual Jackbox question.
Sure.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
They're fine.
Yeah.
I think $20 for those 3 games was more than...
Probably, more than necessary?
Probably more than necessary.
Mm. All right.
They're fine. Every Jackbox games pack has like 1 or 2 games that people are super enthusiastic about.
And then the rest that are just kind of there.
Yeah. And I get that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're the same way. We jump around the different numbers a lot, and it's because we're going to play that one game.
Yeah.
Yep.
They've released a free mega launcher that lets you sort by type of game, by the game pack, or by, you know, all of these.
Sure.
And it just shows you a huge list of all of the apps. And we discovered that there are actually... were probably like 8, 9, 10 of these Jackbox games that we had never touched because we were real enthusiastic about something else. Or,
sure, yeah.
You know, just didn't notice it or whatever. Yeah. So the new one is 2 drawing games and like a kind of grown up version of one of their existing, the werewolf game that they have, where everybody receives the same prompt except for one person.
Sure.
But that person has to play it cool and pretend.
Yep.
They're fine.
They're fine.
It's not...
It exists.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, I understand the pressure that they're under. I get that these aren't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The other games that we played were, I think, significantly better. And it felt weird that of all of the Jackbox games that we had ever played at LAN Party, we had never actually played You Don't Know Jack.
The straight trivia one?
It's weirdly, like, it is trivia, but it mixes it up really...
Sure.
Like, it's more of a very direct version of, or like a game show version of Trivia Murder Party.
Yep.
And I liked it a lot. I think it was really good. One of the other ones that we had never played was one where everybody draws a picture and then you have to auction it off.
Hmm.
And so then everybody is competing to get this this picture.
I played that one, yeah.
And then you get to see how much it sells for, which is something that you get hints about on your phone as things go, you know, through the game.
Mm-hmm.
That one was great. It was just fine. We liked it. But, yeah. I'm weirdly more enthusiastic about the Mega Launcher than I am about the brand new 3 games.
No, that Mega Launcher sounds fucking sweet.
Yeah.
That sounds real handy.
Yep.
During COVID years, we started, me and my wife and a bunch of our friends started doing a weekly, like, Saturday night or Friday night Jackbox thing where, you know, one person would Twitch stream, you know, their Xbox with that on there, and then the rest of us would be on a Zoom call playing along and talking and stuff like that. And, yeah, it was bouncing back and forth. Could we be like, oh, let's play this one? And Scott, who was in charge of the stream, would be like, hold on, let me switch packs and go to the next one. And
Jesus. Yeah.
So
no, it's it is a much better experience. But yeah, I played a couple of horror games that I had never tried before, and then just like it was very chill, it was very relaxed. But
very demure.
Very mindful. The big experience was going to Bulvino's, which is in a tiny shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't expect it to be
like a fancy steakhouse.
Yeah. But it is.
Yeah, it's real good.
because we had such a large party, they brought us a complimentary block of sea salt, or like Himalayan salt, that had been heated to a ridiculous temperature, and it was being used to actively grill a slab of meat that was on it that had been cut into little slices. Oh my God.
Yes.
Everybody there individually had turned to someone else and been like, I would eat just this. I would come here. I would just get like five of these and we would just split them. Holy shit. Yeah, it was exquisite.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. 10 out of 10. Wholeheartedly recommend.
And the rest of the food also? The
rest of the food was also extremely good. Like everything, the lamb, delicious. Everything was tender. Everything was sublime. But nice salad bar. Not the biggest salad bar at one of these establishments, but kind of perfect. Kind of the right size, the right amount.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I've seen more lavish salad bar spreads. They know that's not what you're there for. Let's be real.
Put out a token like, this will make you feel a little better.
Yeah.
Well, you need a little fiber to process.
Yeah. So. I like to do a little bit of a lettuce sandwich.
Some roughage. Mm.
Yeah. You start with a little bit of greens, fill yourself with meat, cap it off with a little bit of salad. Mm. Yeah.
I like the idea of you eat a meat thing and then just like a spinach leaf.
Yeah.
And then another meat thing and then another spinach leaf.
Just layers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Got to organize the kebab.
That's how stomachs work.
Yep.
Truly. But they had a black bean and pork soup on the salad bar that was fucking awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So, nice place. Very nice people. Super good food. Yeah. As soon as I was done with Lynn on Sunday, I went and did a bunch of gear maintenance and that kind of stuff with the other fencing booth folks. Many of the fencing booth folks, weirdly, not doing a fencing booth thing with Jenna.
No, I was
Jenna
doing
was busy.
All of the fight rehearsals, a production meeting, and a load in. Yep. Yeah.
She was doing other fighty stabby things.
I was doing other fighty stabby things. That is correct.
I finally started painting my fencing mask, though.
Oh.
I finally decided on a thing to do with it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Immediately after that, somebody had asked if I would babysit their cat, who had very recently gotten surgery, and she had to be more than a half hour away. And yeah, so sat there and built a website and like every 15 minutes just checked to make sure that the cat was breathing, looking around, alert, you know?
Yeah.
Right. This very sweet elderly cat at some point like got tired of laying in front of the fireplace and came over and just like flopped over on the couch and set her head on my leg. Yeah. I did not get any work done at that point. So I was just like, you're too sweet. You're adorable. But I was there until 1 in the morning. Drove home and tried to start my day as I usually would at 5. And that was not happening because I actually got to sleep around 2:30. And no, I've been a sleepy little potato all day. So, slept in a couple hours and then checked the little metrics that tell me how I slept. And it was like, hey, you got 4.5 hours.
And you're not a dolphin, so.
Right. Maybe a little more. Yeah. So we'll see. I weirdly got more sleep at LAN than I did.
Fuck. That's not how you're supposed to do that, James.
No, not at all. Correct.
Yep. Mm.
But no. Mm. It was a great weekend.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
Nice.
Salsa.
Yes. I did a show.
Hey.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I am also shocked.
Yeah, no, I, on Saturday, went down to Waseca, which is about an hour south of the Twin Cities, for those that don't know, to the Waseca County Historical Society. For a snake oil show.
Hell yeah.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
So I brought my two kids, because my wife is away on a ladies' weekend with...
business.
No.
She's away on business.
No,
well, lady business.
No, they are absolutely
not,
out there.
Not the
fun.
Same as my lady business.
No, different.
It's mostly women from Royal Court with a couple other people. They all went to Disney together. Because fucking why not?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, they're all having a great time. But so my wife is away. She will be coming home any minute now. So if this podcast is suddenly interrupted by me going to kiss my wife, that is what's going on.
I mean,
I like her at the best of times, but I also haven't seen her in a week. But anyway, yeah, just fair warning. If I suddenly break off mid-sentence, that's why.
But, yes.
That's why.
I have an excuse this time. But anyway, so my wife is away, so I brought my kids with me down to this show, because my kids, A, aren't old enough to be left alone, and B, have seen me do this plenty of times.
Sure.
Not
care.
Quite yet. I'm getting there.
So, yeah, it's close. So we went down there and, got there and went in, and immediately my two children were just swooped into the kitchen by the, gray-haired old ladies who were the volunteers for the museum, and just whoop, off they went, and it was like, cool, and I went and got set up and stuff like that, and came into the kitchen a little bit later, and my daughter was holding court, like, fucking,
right.
Literally, just the two of them had snacks and, like, hot cocoa and cookies, and Lilibeth was just talking and just had all...
telling stories.
Literally a semicircle of the volunteers for this place around her table, listening to her.
It's almost like having two parents who are entertainers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this kid rolled a fucking 20 on her charisma stats, seriously. But, yeah, no, they were doing fine. I was like, all right, well, I'll leave them to that. And did the show. So it was, the show opened with, the human snake.
Oh.
So we had a belly dancer who did the whole snake dance thing, and, really awesome. One of the ladies from Black Isles, belly dance, did that, and she was fantastic. And then, the snake oil show started and did the first half of the show. And then there was an intermission, and then I did my thing, and then the snake oil show came back.
Yeah.
And what it was, the snake oil show, it was a reenactor reenacting an actual snake oil person from history, a woman named Violet McNeil.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Who wrote... she lived in late 1800s, early 1900s, and when she got a little older, felt guilty about what she had done earlier in life, and basically wrote a tell-all book, exposing a lot of what they had done, and so that's why she's like well known and reenacted upon now.
Yeah.
But so this person was reenacting, playing as Violet McNeil, and this show was half history lecture and then half demonstration of the show.
Sure.
And so you're talking about, this is where, I grew up, and this is what I met this person, and this is the person who brought me into the show, and this is what we would do, and we would do this. And then she had a woman that was also with her that was the plant, the shill, in the crowd, who was also dressed up in 1800s clothes. But yeah, she would cough and come up and, I'm not feeling so good. And, oh, here's a tonic. And, oh, I feel better now, doing the whole thing. And,
right.
And then she would talk about, this is a shill. This is what this is called. This is what these people would blah, 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 blah.
Nice.
And they showed, all of the different things that they would do, the worm medicine.
Yeah.
Like, they, for example, for those that don't know, what they would do is they would give you a pill and a tonic. Mm-hmm. And the pill had, inside the pill was a, fake worm. that was basically made from, like, cow intestine or sheep intestine or something like that.
Okay. Sure.
And then the tonic was basically mineral oil. So you would pop the pill. Jeez. The pill would dissolve. You'd drink the mineral oil, which would just clean you out.
Right.
Give you diarrhea. And then you'd look in your stool and be like, oh, look, there's a worm.
Oh, my God.
I must have had worms, and now it's out.
Yeah.
This tonic absolutely worked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Genius. But that's the kind of stuff that they would do, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, she had, like, the little, like, tiger balm tins, you know, that everybody got to take home a little free sample of tiger balm. I've got my tiger balm over there. But, you know, Chinese red with a tiger on it,
right.
You know, with fancy, you know, from the Orient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter would... She gave some, because my daughter was sitting in the front row at this point, she gave some to my daughter to put on her temples because she, oh, I got a little bit of headache. And then a little later on the show, she mentioned it again. She was like, yeah, see how you doing? My daughter was like, yeah, my headache's gone. And she was just like, you would make an amazing shill. I'm going to take you on the road with me.
Nice.
Yep.
But yeah, they would do that kind of back and forth between history lecture and then doing some
the
of the
practical
actual
demonstration of the magic show.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they would, this is what we would do, and this is how we would do it, and then they would kind of go back into the history, and then there was a Q&A at the end. It was really absolutely fascinating, really, really interesting. I went home and bought the book immediately.
Yeah.
The autobiography, because it looked really, really interesting. But yeah, and then the museum itself, they've got like a month-long run of quackery.
Oh,
and
amazing.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just snake oil and various quackery and stuff like that.
Just talking to somebody about quackery.
So they had like the phrenology head and all the different, you know,
nice.
Balms and
I think that was what brought it up.
Like that.
Yeah.
And they were talking about some of the medicines that they were giving to people that just all of the insane, like, drugs.
Like,
and,
you were talking about the worm capsule, and I thought you were talking about that they, at one point, very purposely offered tapeworms in capsules for people to ingest. As a means of losing weight.
Hookworms.
Were they hookworms?
They also have done hookworms. Like, the hookworms were supposed to, like, make you feel better and do good things to your body, too.
Jesus.
So, yeah, hookworms were another thing that they would purposefully infect themselves with. But, yeah, it was just all sorts of crazy stuff like that.
Yeah. I've always been fascinated by that kind of stuff.
It was really, really interesting. Yeah.
We used to have a Museum of Medical Quackery in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we had that exhibit, yep.
Yeah, and now all of that got donated to the Science Museum of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well then.
But yeah, so yeah, there's just this exhibit on this, and yeah, it was just absolutely fascinating stuff that was going on, and I... And having me go and do my thing and it was super fun.
How did it feel to be a part of that kind of exhibit? It seems like exactly your jam.
Oh yeah, I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
I was absolutely on cloud nine the whole time. Just having my kids each got a packet of dehydrated water. Just add water.
That's real good.
One packet of dehydrated water makes infinite water.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Truly.
Yes.
What was it? Oh, talking about some of the other like things that they would give, like, oh, you know, you're a mom who is working and doesn't have a nanny or something like this. Well, here, you know, your baby's crying. Oh, well, just give him a little bit of this. You know, it'll absolutely the baby will go right back to sleep. No problem.
And
the baby's crying. Yeah, just give him a little bit more of this, and the baby will feel better. And they're just stuffing their baby full of opium.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's way worse than what I expected.
And things like that. Yeah. And she's like, and every so often babies didn't wake up.
Yeah.
So that was the sort of shit that went down in these places. And then there was like, she was talking about some of these elixirs that, you know, the people in the temperance movement these uptight ladies in the temperance movement, here's some of this tonic and they felt so much better afterwards.
Right.
And you know, staying off that liquor, you can't have that. But here's this tonic that'll absolutely, which was like 43% alcohol.
Right.
Yes.
Reminds me of the Waltons, the two sisters from the Waltons.
Yep.
Who used to make Grandpappy's medicine?
Yep,
which was just like the strongest moonshine.
Yep.
Yeah,
But yeah, no, some of these were just packed full of alcohol or cocaine or mm-hmm. opium or mm-hmm. you know, laudanum or yeah. or whatnot. And Violet McNeil actually never did drugs. Mm-hmm. They used alcohol tinctures, okay. you know, and you know, tonics, but never any hemp or cocaine or opium okay. or anything like that.
Sure.
But many people absolutely did put that in yeah. in that stuff. But yeah, it was just like, yeah, you stuff somebody full of laudanum and of course they're going to feel better. You know?
Right.
Absolutely.
So. Well, it's like Coca-Cola and 7-Up both started as
cocaine and lithium.
Yeah. Yep. And then, it's very weird. And we've moved from that into just like a third of a maximum dose of caffeine in a can.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
in a 12-ounce can. Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, really interesting. And can't wait to get my hands on the book and dive in a little deeper. But it was super fun. I enjoyed it immensely. And then I came home.
Yeah.
From that, which is, I like these little shows, where I just do one thing and then I leave.
Yeah.
As opposed to a whole weekend in mud and, you know, sure. whatever. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for non-festival shows.
Mm.
But yeah, no, that's what I did this weekend. So huh?
That sounds wildly fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, should we take a break?
Let's do.
I think we should.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Perfectly normal American accent.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And, hey, Jenna.
Yes. Yes, Salsa.
Rumor has reached mine ears.
Yes, Barreg.
Oh, really?
That there is something coming down... the pipe here that might be a bit of a big deal.
Awkward. Oh, that pipe. Okay.
You know, the pipe of time.
The time pipe.
I've played that Sonic game.
Yeah. Something coming down the time pipe.
The time pipe.
You.
Yes, actually. This Wednesday marks the opening of the 13th Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Whoa.
Hell yes.
That's right. Significant, because 13 is a significant horror number.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know what we're doing for it?
Nothing.
A bunch of shows.
What? Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Right?
Oh, the jump scared me.
In fact, this year, so most years, Twin Cities Horror mm-hmm. Festival has 11 different productions.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of 11 days, mm-hmm. Each production gets 5 shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year,
mm-hmm.
we have an opening act. So normally we open on Thursday, but this year we're opening on Wednesday. We've got a one night only.
Holy shit.
One night only.
Leslie Vincent presents a Monster and Mayhem Cabaret.
Oh.
Murderinos and Monster Heads unite for an evening of cabaret, camp, and costumes. Your host, local jazz chanteuse? I don't know. Jazz person. And
chartreuse.
It's not chartreuse. Chantreuse?
Chantress?
Not chantress.
Oh.
Chanteuse. I don't know, Sean Petre somewhere.
He's screaming at us right now.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
And former TCHF producer.
Mm-hmm.
Also former TCHF marketing director.
Ooh.
Yeah, didn't put that in there.
Uh-huh.
Apparently my board's not good enough. That's fine.
You said
Leslie Vincent and her merry band will get you in the Halloween spirit with spooky originals and jazz standards as they were never intended to be sung. One night only. So it is an all ages opening for the horror festival. And mm-hmm. tickets can be bought nowhere because it's already sold out.
Oh, wow. Oh, all right. Okay.
So if you were hoping to see that, sorry. Like, you can show up and see if there are people that don't claim their tickets or somebody calls last minute and is like, ah, shit, I thought it was next Wednesday, whatever. But, yeah, you're kind of out of luck for that one.
Swipe them.
Stand near the entrance when somebody claims their tickets, beat them up and take them. I would never endorse that. That is a horrible idea, James.
Why would you say such a thing, James?
Seriously, what the fuck?
Oh, that's my role on the podcast is cruelty and
God.
Bad ideas that involve violence.
Yeah.
I can't even look at him right now.
That's fair.
Especially not in that Red Wings shirt.
So that is sold out. But we are starting basically a day early or doing a preemptive getting you in the mood kind of show. And I'm very excited for that. Of course, that means that we're opening on a Wednesday as opposed to a Thursday, which means our entire timeline is like, but that's fine. That's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Do you think it's fine?
Everything's fine.
It's probably fine.
I think it's probably fine.
I'm guessing it's fine.
So, we do have 11 other productions happening that you can still get tickets to.
But not for long.
Although a few of the individual shows have sold out. Yeah. So each producer still has tickets right now. One of the studio shows is really close to being just a full sellout before the festival even opens.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah. I don't know if you knew. We're kind of popular. Yeah.
So, you know how Jenna's been saying you should go to the website for the past few weeks? You probably should have been doing that.
You really should have been doing that up front. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I've tried.
Yeah.
I did my job.
We gave you warning.
I wasn't just saying it to, like, brag. I was also bragging. But I wasn't saying it just to brag. But I do want to tell you about...
Still does, but she used to, too.
So I do want to run through all of these shows and just give you and
the elevator pitch
for them. Fun, good stuff, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, every year is amazing, and this year is just... no different. Yeah. Except that all the shows are different. But still amazing. this one, I have seen so many previews and clips. They've been putting so much out for it. It's called The Alchemist's Bargain by Phantom Chorus Theater. Phantom Chorus Theater is known for their puppetry.
Okay.
They did a Frankenstein show. They've done a few different shows in the horror festival itself and some other lovely, lovely work outside of it. So I'm going to read the pitch, and then I'm going to tell you what's extra awesome about it. A dark fable performed entirely through black light puppetry.
Oh.
About a hero's journey to bring their beloved back to life with the aid of dubious alchemists. The hero must traverse treacherous lands and face dangerous foes to collect the ingredients needed to concoct the alchemist's elixir. How far are they willing to go to defy death in the name of love? Blacklight puppetry.
Yeah.
Amazing. I also love that the suggested ages for this is 10 and up. It's got the lowest rating on Language and Blood. It is puppetry. It's the horror genre, because there are many different subgenres of horror. Is dark fantasy.
Okay.
What I love about Phantom Chorus Theater specific is they always have these wonderful stories, but then they do fun lighting effects with their puppetry. Sometimes there's shadow work, but oftentimes it's just how the light is shining against the puppet that can make it do different things, right? And I love how they're not just puppets in a thing or puppets with a person. They're paying attention to all these different elements. And they just produce some of the most stunning and awesome work through doing that. So, I would definitely make sure to catch that. You can bring your kids. if they're 10 and up. You can bring them if they're younger and you think they'll be able to handle it.
Yeah.
Not my kids.
Well, it's dark fantasy though, so
I
think they would latch on to the fairy tale aspect of it.
Depends really on how scary it is.
I don't think it's gonna be that scary.
Okay.
It's rated the lowest rating everything. So, next one is Campfire Stories by Special When Lit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to read the thing for this. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It is actual ghost stories.
Yes.
Mm.
It is ghost stories from people who have experienced them firsthand.
Yeah.
With a bunch of music and other elements interspersed in between.
Cool.
So, live music and effect. To make it a full spooky experience. So it is storytellers telling their own stories. It's a rotating roster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so each night we'll have different people.
Mm.
The rating that they have on this is suggested age of 13 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Blood is the lowest rating, 1. Strong language is a 4.
Sure.
And I feel like you should just say that with any local storyteller, a lot of our storytellers, and by our storytellers, I mean me.
Yeah.
I'm not in this.
Sure.
But like, we all swear like sailors.
Yep.
You
use language to accentuate the emotional state.
I sure do, buddy. All right. Next one up.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous Productions,
mm-hmm.
known for their blood and gore, is doing a show called Dr. Clown.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
You just sit on that for a second.
I don't want to sit on that for a second. I want to move on, please.
I'm going to read the teaser.
All right.
Taking a uniquely Dangerous Productions approach, this cast of characters tackles the horrors of the American medical system. It's a deeply bloody show with equal parts absurd comedy, slapstick, and several gallons of blood spilt.
Oh.
Yep. It's suggested age 16 and up. Genre of horror, comedy, and gore. Warnings, blood and guts.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just what Dangerous does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't get blood and guts at a Dangerous show, you didn't see a Dangerous show.
Right. For those who have never seen a Dangerous show, they start with laying a tarp down on the stage.
Right.
They're not fucking around.
No.
That is not a year-by-year choice. That is baseline.
No, they start with a tarp. They start with garlic and onions in the form of a tarp.
And then decide how much.
And then decide how much blood and everything else. Like, it literally, that's how they do things. And I love how much other people get freaked out by clowns.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that they lean into the clown aspect of this. Because I want this in my life. However, I don't like doctors, specifically needles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very concerned for myself as to how much they're going to lean into the doctor side of this. Yeah, I'm conflicted. I have so many wants and desires out of this.
Everybody else in the theater is going to have coulrophobia, and Jenna's going to be like, needles!
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and now welcome Needles the Clown, and everybody screams.
Oh, God,
Why did you say that out loud, James?
Nope.
In the darkness, his grim death honk proceeds.
Damn it.
I'm going to totally be putting that in my back pocket.
I hate you both
And
so
by
much.
That, I mean forgetting about it.
Pretty much instantaneously. Great. Speaking about forgetting about things, the next show is called Fractured Remembrances.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Rogue Gallery Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue's Gallery is Doc Washington's production group.
Yes.
And his cast is, of course, stellar. Aster and her boyfriend have disappeared. After 5 days, she is found. Her boyfriend is not. She has no memory of what happened and begins suffering psychogenetic blackouts. Psychogenic, thank you. God, I'm like, what? No, that's not right. Psychogenic blackouts when pressed about it. Aster's world turns to chaos as her fractured memory betrays her. telling the truth, she must come face to face with horrors beyond her imagination. So, yeah, definitely a bit of a psychological one here. Genres, it says, psychological, gore, supernatural, monster. warnings, loud noises, assault, depression.
Jesus.
Ratings, strong language, 4, blood, 4, suggested ages, 16 and up.
The real monster is the friends we lost along the way.
Oh, God, actually, though, probably that.
Curse your sudden but inevitable self-betrayal.
But I saw the preview. But also, like, a lot of the actors are friends of mine in this, and they are just so goddamn excited. And I can really tell when you're supposed to, when a show is going to be good, when the actors are excited for it.
Yes.
And it's not just, like, especially actors that have been around for a while, and they're like, oh my God, this show that I'm working on right now. Like, yes.
Not just, here's another show I'm doing.
Yeah. No. All of my actor friends involved are excited. And it's a Duck Washington show, which is always amazing.
Great storyteller there.
Definitely. Psych and gore. I'm in so hard. Mm-hmm. And we have two shows that are very similarly named. One of them is called Ghost Chaser 04. Do curses exist? Is the paranormal real? In 1904, two rivals try to uncover a series of mysterious deaths. In 2004, three strangers meet up to investigate a curse. Tonight, they're drawn together to answer the most important question, is someone in here with us? So it's one of those, like, paranormal, time-shifty things, whatever, stuff like that. Genres of horror, supernatural, gore. Suggested age 16, strong language 5, blood 4. I know several people involved in this, and I can't remember all of them, but like McKaylee is one of them.
Oh, excellent.
And I was talking with her about it yesterday because we were at a rehearsal for a different show. I'm like, I remember McKaylee's in this one. But it's produced by A Murder of Crones, which is a very female-heavy group.
Sure.
I feel like I just called a bunch of women fat. No, heavy in having females, not heavy females. God damn it.
Yeah. Heavily features femme folks.
Yes, that.
There you are.
Thank you. But no, and it's always very strong writing. Last year, a lot of the same people did Girl in Bins.
Oh, yeah, Girls in Bins, yeah.
That one. So it's the same writer-producer group for that one. So, yeah, if you liked that, see
that
this.
That was a wild show.
That was a real good one. Yeah, they do psych stuff really well. And this says supernatural and gore. It doesn't say anything about psych, but my guess is there's going to be some psych in there. So that one is called Ghost Chaser 04. Then we also have a show called Ghost Runners.
Oh,
okay.
By Spiral Theater.
The ones being chased.
I was about to say, does that one come before the other one on the schedule?
No, well.
Yeah, with an intermission of Yakky Sacks. Yeah.
First. Yeah. But, okay.
Because, I mean, that, anyway. If somebody was in charge of the scheduling, that would be, you know, just.
I think there's a specific, like, randomization to the scheduling so that no one gets one great, awesome thing. Yeah. Like, all the schedules we try to make about as balanced as possible. Yeah. But.
No, I mean, yeah, why let a good reality ruin a good joke?
Because it's the truth, Salsa. Look, sometimes as board president, I have to be real about this shit, all right?
Interestingly enough, they've done studies and they have found that truth has a half-life. as science develops.
But not a Half-Life 3.
Did you know that 64% of statistics are made up on the spot?
I heard it was 80.
No, I was watching a thing just the other day. It was QI, as a matter of fact. But truth has a half-life as scientific endeavors progress and we learn more things. Things that we previously knew to be truth are disproven and updated. Mm-hmm. So...
So anyway,
that very statistic itself.
Spiral Theater is producing Ghost Runners. They did, I don't remember the name of it, but the one with the dogs jumping off the bridge.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they did that one last year, and it was real good, but also real crazy. They are, I love this group of people. They're very. They have young theater energy, and so they're kind of a little ADHD all over the place.
Essence of Gelfling.
Much of the time. Much of the time, but not always. Like, they know, they do also know how to say that.
Right.
As a crowd of Skeksis, are there to drink that energy.
So, I'm going to read this one off.
Yep.
Henry loves baseball, but hates playing it and watching it. Yet his obsession over it rules... over its rules, balance, and history lead him to create his own tabletop baseball simulation, where rolling dice and complicated charts determine various bizarre outcomes. When a player is murdered in the game, the search for the culprit turns a pastime into a nightmare. I have no idea. I actually did not see the preview on this.
Sounds novel and fun.
And they've done this before, where they just take this weird idea and they make it work. The genre is horror comedy. So
I'm intrigued by making a baseball role playing game and putting a death mechanic in it in the first place.
Right? I know. Like, what the?
Otherwise, there's
fuck?
No stakes to being hit by the pitch.
Yeah. So yeah. Suggested ages 13 and up. It's kind of threes for strong language and blood. But yeah, they're so full of energy, and they always. I feel like sometimes older thespians in our in the Twin Cities have a very kind of formulaic way of going about doing things.
Sure.
And Spiral Theater is like. Fuck your formulas.
Yeah. It feels like this concept really came out of left field.
Well, you all should go see that show despite Salsa's sense of humor.
Yeah, that was some inside baseball.
Oh, I hate you both so much. Okay.
It was a home run. You know it.
The next one is a joint production between Monster Science and the Winding Sheet outfit.
Hell yes.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, the Night Parade of 100 Demons, in which the Honorable Reverend Matt employs the Winding Sheet outfit to help him tell 100 ghost stories, and absolutely nobody gets what they came for. That is the title. I didn't read the description. That is the title.
No, I love it.
And the description is just, see title.
description, I love this. Two great tastes that taste great together. Horror festival favorites team up to tell 100 tales of horror mythology over 5 distinct theme shows.
Ooh.
So each show is going to be different. They've got shapeshifters, demons, undead, outsiders, and beasts. Each show bringing their own various styles, and nothing goes wrong. Nothing. I feel like something might go wrong.
No, nothing's going to go wrong. Nothing goes wrong. They were pretty clear about that on that point. Okay. If nothing else, they were clear on that point. Nothing goes wrong.
Nothing goes wrong.
What if that's the thing that goes wrong?
Nothing goes wrong, James. Not one thing goes wrong. Nothing goes wrong. Not even that going wrong goes wrong. It's nothing goes wrong.
But if the goes wrong show is
this isn't
perfect,
the goes wrong show.
Then this things
is,
will
is,
go wrong.
This is a Kessin show. Nothing goes wrong.
Oh.
Here's the thing, you guys. Rev Matt is not only a friend of mine, but one of my favorite monster lecturers out there.
He's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Top five, for
100%.
Sure. 100%. no, he does incredible work. And the Winding Sheet outfit always does just stellar, poignant work.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Another mainstay of the show, of the festival.
Yeah. Like, I am just so goddamn fucking excited to see these two partner together. Performance genre says theater and storytelling, and suggested ages 13 and up. So everybody should go see this multiple times because each show is different.
Yep.
Get your tickets now or you can't.
Okay, so this one, I'm going to talk about the production company first. Because I have nothing to do with selecting the groups that get admitted to the horror festival, right? But I do get to see a list of which production companies got in before it's published. And so I'm looking at this list, and I'm like, oh, yay, this person got in. Oh, yay. I'm like, what? Rev Man 1 and Cheetah partnering together? Oh, hell yeah. Like, that's exciting. And then I read this production company name, and I went, who the fuck is that? The name of the company is Occasionally Employed Productions. And I read that title, and I went, okay, this is either somebody new to the scene that really just kind of lucked out and hit it out of the park on naming their company, or
this is a super group.
It's a super group or a couple of people that got together that have been doing this kind of stuff for a while. So, Occasionally Employed Productions is a joint production between Sam Landman and Josh Carson. Sam Landman, known around town for his 18 million various acting gigs, but also Finger Lickin' Good. He played Colonel Sanders. I think it's just
so good.
One of the most stellar
things. I still
things.
Hurt from laughing. Fuck.
But has also done many different horror festival shows. And then Josh Carson is the guy that does the Die Hard Christmas show at the Bryant Lake Bowl every year that sells out within half an hour of the tickets going live. So, so the name of the show is The Regular. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, but are they always glad you came? Here comes The Regular, story of a guy who walks into a bar, but might not walk out. I am so fucking... I got to talk to the both of them about the show and what it's going to entail. Strong Language 5, Blood 4, suggested age 16 and up. Genres of horror, comedy, and a psychological thriller. This is exactly what I want.
Yep.
I am so excited for Murder Cheers. That's what it is in my brain. It's just, this is going to be Murder Cheers.
We'll have you on the edge of the cliff.
Studio show, Let's Summon a Demon at Debbie's. This is from Love Drunk Life. It is an out-of-town group. That is in, and they have almost sold out all of their shows.
Jeez.
Like, I think they literally have, like, 10 tickets left total or something.
For the run.
For the run. Yeah.
Fuck.
So if you do not have your tickets to this, by the time you're hearing this when this goes out, you might not be able to get any, but you should go check right now. Pause the podcast, go check and see if you can get a ticket.
Pull over.
Yeah, just stop, go look, get the ticket if you can, and then keep going. It's been 25 years since Debbie, Kara, and Lucy have seen each other, and 25 years since Debbie has left her house. But don't worry, Debbie's hasn't been alone. Debbie has her dolls. A high school reunion like no other. Three friends try to make sense of strange occurrences through their lives and figure out if an all-consuming need to return to Debbie's house has to do with that demon they tried to summon senior year.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah. They did, because they couldn't be here for previews because they're out of town, they actually sent in a video, and the video is just this woman talking to a doll, talking to the woman, talking to the doll. And it was like they did it in a grainy black and white. It was so good and real fucking creepy.
Yeah. I'm not usually creeped out by dolls, but there are definitely times.
I have seen the occasional doll that
I'm just like, nope, not you, buddy. Strong Language 5, Blood 3, suggested age 16 and up. Camp comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great. Yeah. Go get your tickets to that. The other studio show that you should probably get tickets to. It's the second of the run, so I don't think it's sold quite as many as Debbie's yet. Mm-hmm. Shaolust by Keith Harvest Productions. Wyatt likes to watch. No, he needs to watch. He's addicted to the thrill of seeing people eat, clean, read, watch TV, and live their lives. But when his passion starts taking on a life of its own, inexplicable events begin happening. Suddenly, Wyatt's search for answers sparks his transformation into something new. Better. Beautiful. A version of himself he was always meant to be. A psychological thriller with music. This is a one-man show. And I think he sings and dances? I'm not 100% certain. I don't know. It feels like this guy becomes a musical. Language 4, Blood 3, age 16 and up. Genre, psychological. Warnings, mental health, depression and anxiety specific. So, yeah. That one, I know the least about, but also in not knowing that much about it, kind of creeps me out the most.
Sure, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, shit. That's creeping me out. And then the last one that I have here is called The Wrench by Wheeler in the Sky. And that is a collection of really good local theater artists as well.
Okay.
I can't remember any of them, but I think Shannon Custer's in this group.
Okay.
On its 30th anniversary, a group of New York's most celebrated Shakespearean actors gather to memorialize the bloodiest theater riot in American history, the Astor Place Riot.
Nice.
Right. After the matinee performance of Macbeth, a horrible accident backstage leaves Lady M on her deathbed. As the actors await news of her fate, they gather in their dressing room, amusing each other and consoling each other with theater stories, each in turn confronting the bloody secrets of their past and horrors of the date 30 years ago, which binds them all together. May 10th, 1849, the Astor Place Riot. For those of you who don't know about the Astor Place Riots, 1849, basically when America separated from England, we had that whole war, Revolutionary War happened, or something. There was a Declaration of Independence involved.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, basically, there was, I mean, we became our own country, and things kind of started to diverge for a while. But Shakespeare was the thing that bound America and England in theater stuff. But as America grew in its own status of a country, British performers would come over to come do Shakespeare. But we had American performers doing Shakespeare, and they started to butt heads. And there was this whole nationalism thing that happened. And there were two different places doing Macbeth, with two very prominent Shakespearean actors on the same night at different locales. And, like, there were riots.
Yep.
There were riots over this shit. People died. Hundreds were injured. Hundreds? Jesus. Maybe just 100.
A lot.
Something. A lot.
100 is a lot.
100 is a lot.
There is a great episode of Stuff You Missed in History Class about the riots. It's really good. So, well, I mean, every podcast they do is good. But, yeah, one.
But
and they get into that nationalism, the different actors, and like they would send groups of people to just go and hiss at the other performances and stuff like that.
Yeah, this was like theater warfare.
Yeah, like the reason the riots happened is because people were sent to break up the other shows.
Yeah,
Jesus.
And then I know specifically for Astor Place, they were already expecting there to be issues, and
it
so
was a powder keg.
They sent in military, which always works when riots are happening. Hi, Minnesota. So anyway,
As a history buff, I want to see that one.
Right. Mm-hmm. So strong language, 5, blood, 2, age 16, genre of horror, suspense, warnings, murder, and suicide. So, yeah, that is all of the shows in the horror festival this
Sounds
year.
Like a fucking great lineup.
Again, yeah. No stinkers.
Absolutely. That's the thing. I love, because we are juried. We have, there's mm-hmm. a selection yeah. process. Mm-hmm. And I do love that our festival, like, we don't have bad shows. We mm-hmm. just don't. It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. You can go see every show, assuming you get a ticket before it sells out. But it is, unlike the Fringe, you can actually see all of the shows that mm-hmm. are offered. It is possible to do, and honestly kind of easy to do. You can do most of them in a weekend. We're starting up in a few days here. Mm-hmm. And we'll be running for, well, technically 12 days with that mm-hmm. special Wednesday Ooh. Opening.
Couldn't have started on Tuesday and gone for 13 on
13. God. Didn't have a doubleheader for that.
Yeah.
There's a few other just quick things I'm going to say about the festival this year that's different this year than previous years. We do have certain shows that are ASL interpreted.
Hmm. That's fucking awesome.
Good on you.
I've wanted this for a while, and mm-hmm. We managed to get some funding to help with the ASL interpretation. We've got some of the shows don't have interpretation for specific theatrical reasons.
Sure.
Neither of the studio shows have it. I don't know where we would put another person in that theater. Like, that's yep. just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it,
nope.
If you're trying to set a mood and you've got a spotlight on somebody, it can
well,
be difficult sometimes.
It's not
sometimes.
Even that. The studio is so damn small.
No, I'm not just the studio. Yeah. I'm talking about for some of the other shows.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, if there's a scream during a blackout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't think that there's an interpreter for the puppet show.
Yeah.
It's all black mm-hmm. light, but also so much of it is visual that...
Yeah.
You almost kind yeah. of don't need an
yeah. also,
interpreter.
Also, somebody needs to do a show where the ASL interpreter gets murdered.
I mean...
Meta, dude!
Why is this one show offering ASL interpretation for all 5 of the shows?
No reason.
They must really be into accessibility. That's great. I'm going to go see that show. Oh, God! Oh, God! But yeah, we do have ASL interpretation this year, and we're hoping we can expand this out as we continue as a festival. It's our first year doing it. Come see those shows. It's always fun to see what words look like from an ASL interpretation standpoint too. Like sometimes you're just like. What does that word look like? Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
Between my sword swallowing show and Vilification Tennis, I have seen some fascinating signing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
And you'll, you know, you might learn a thing or two. But we have that. And then also this year, we are offering a dry bar with mocktails.
Hmm. Hell yes.
And yeah, we're going with, I think we got Mingle brand canned mocktails this year. So we're gonna push that edge just a little bit. I want to see this succeed. There are many reasons why we are not serving alcohol. The venue doesn't have a license. Sure. It's impossible to get a 12-day event license for booze.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's something to be said for just having non-alcoholic places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Delicious drinks that you don't get wrecked mm-hmm. on.
Especially since we're already going to spike your adrenaline with the shows.
Yeah. Right.
You don't really need a little bit more on top of that.
Yeah.
Last thing some of those shows need is a drunk asshole showing up.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for our little dry bar this year. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's another thing that I've been trying to push. So.
Yeah, no, normalize that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I got all new dresses, so I'm very excited. Very excited to be showing off some of my new dresses.
The Jenna Fashion Show.
Yes. Everybody's been working so hard on this. My poor staff, my poor board. We're all exhausted. Please show up to the festival and make it worth our time and effort.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll probably say this in the plugs as well, but where and when?
So the Twin Cities Horror Festival is happening at Crane Theater in Northeast Minneapolis. You can Google Crane. It's something something Kennedy something. But it is happening this Wednesday.
The 23rd,
and running through Sunday, November 3rd. So if you don't have Halloween plans, we could be your Halloween plans. But also, if you need weekend plans before or after Halloween, we got you covered there, too. You finish Halloween, and you're like, I just didn't get quite enough spooky in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Come see us. We got you.
We got you, about
it. Yeah.
We got you. Boo.
All right.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Fucking awesome.
Go ahead and check that out. Please do so now. We're not fucking joking now. Tickets are probably like, there's one left. Get it.
Go get a ticket for Debbie's before it's gone. Like, just straight up.
All right. And we're going to take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Penn was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
James, if you could just walk around and identify all of my earworms for me. I mean, I know this one's Steve. This one's Irving. But, like, the rest of them, I get them confused.
You know, I hear a lot of mineral oil. I'll help get those out.
Do you drink it or do you dump it in your ear?
Yes.
Yes.
God damn it. I don't like you guys.
Yes.
I didn't like you beforehand. That's
no.
fine.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
The mineral oil didn't help that.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James. Yep.
I'm Jenna.
They knew. They recognized
they knew.
That sound.
And it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... James!
Yes.
That guy.
Agreed. Yeah. This is what happens when we don't have any.
You find a stranger in the Alps.
This is what happens. This is what happens. When you find a stranger in the Alps. All right.
Yes.
So, Fast Five. Question number one. Elbows or pinkies?
Elbows.
I prefer rubbing elbows than going to... Or I prefer rubbing elbows in an event than going to a pinkies up event.
Mmm.
So I'm going to go elbows.
Yeah, I think I would choose elbows.
Elbows all around?
Yep.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Asses and elbows.
Those aren't the two options.
Just elbows. Yeah.
No, we're the asses.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
I thought we were the pinkies.
I mean...
I'm the brain.
Yeah.
All right. Fast Five, question number two. Calf or knee?
Calf or knee. I hate it when I get a cramp in the calf. Oh, God. Just fuck that.
The entire run of Fest. My legs are just making a fist.
Absolutely.
I found the knights who say knee more funny than the trebuchet cow.
Oh. Donnie LaVance. I liked both bits. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed mm-hmm. them both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If
it helps at all, I'm choosing knee.
It doesn't.
No.
Oh, I am shocked and surprised.
I'm going to go calf.
Okay.
Because, yeah, fuck it when you get that cramp in your calf, man. Fuck that.
No, I...
Yeah, because you can wear a knee brace.
I'm not worried about the cramps, but I got arthritis in my knees, and it sucks.
Sure.
One of my knee hurts right now.
Yeah. So okay. My hip is hurting right now.
Yes, ask me what's hurting right now.
But that was not one of the options. Your boob, it was pinched.
No, it's my uterus consistently and always.
That too. Yeah.
My lower back.
All right. Jenna's
upper
hurting.
Upper back.
Us.
Mm-hmm. Right now, my head is hurting a little bit.
So yeah. Two knees
out with
and a
you
calf.
Two.
Yep, two knees and a calf.
All right.
That's five. Question number three. Roll or deal?
I prefer playing card games than rolling dice.
I prefer dice games.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would have to choose roll.
All right.
Fast five. Question number four. Along or behind?
Along.
I'm also gonna say along. You drag somebody along with you, or are you dragging behind them? And I always bring people with me. Look, bitch, we're going where I want.
Because I hate getting stuck behind someone.
Yeah.
Also that. They go too slow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been stuck along someone.
I think that... Nope, stop.
That's
stop.
A, ew. Yeah, that's a me problem.
Ew. 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 Ew.
I think I'm going to choose along for
all
this.
Right. Cool.
All right. Fast five. Question number five. Five. Sun five, or moon?
Moon.
Moon.
Sun.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Give us context.
All right.
Or give us
S-U-N?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure.
Good question. Yeah. Very good question. All right. Question number one, elbows or pinkies. You are given a choice of two classes to take. Which one would you choose? Class A is a history of the hygienic reasons for manners.
Pinkies.
Like, that's elbows off the table.
Oh, okay.
And things like that.
Okay.
And then B, class B, is about how certain manners became linked with class and colonialism. Pinkies out.
I want all of that.
Yes.
Also.
But you have to choose one.
Think if they're both happening at the same time.
Yes.
I think I would go to pinkies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew this about me, but having lived within a few different class structures at this point, I found the whole thing fascinating and somewhat depressing. So I would love to hear more on that.
Yeah.
It's an area of fascination for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to stick with elbows. Mm-hmm. It is well documented my opinion on saying things like bless you for sneezing and how stupid it is. And if I can learn about other nonsense that is not necessary in this day and age that I can fucking get rid of, then I will.
All right.
All right. So question number two, calf or knee? You're looking at fabulous pairs of boots. Which length would you prefer?
Oh...
I chose knee.
It depends on what I'm wearing them for.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a calf is more versatile.
Sure.
So probably calf.
Yeah, my daily wears are calf height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, ankle would be the preference, but...
I mean, ugh. Yeah.
Oof.
Oh. I like ankle boots.
I don't.
When you say calf, do you how high is... Like,
I mean,
to the
like,
bottom of the calf?
No, it's usually about midpoint.
Like a cowboy boot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a cowboy boot.
Okay.
Like the middle of your lower leg.
Right.
Versus like reaching up to
the knee. Yes, you're right. I was just making sure that I was.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I fucking hate both of those options, but I could go with the shorter one.
My calves are so goddamn thick.
Same.
Like, I got Son of Sandler.
Yeah.
And could barely make them be on me, like, clothes.
It is weird for you to be too large for anything.
Right.
Yes.
No, actually, that's not true. My butt is also very, very big.
Yeah.
It's glorious in its roundness.
Sure.
And size.
Yeah.
But I tend to wear extra large on the lower half and medium to large on my upper half. Because my butt is just that fucking big.
Right.
But yeah, no, my butt, my calves, my thighs, like all of that is a bit more on the rounder side for what you would think. But yeah, my calves are especially thick.
Part of the reason that Salsa, this makes complete sense.
Well, I mean, if we're going with fest boots, then knee high.
No, just boots in general.
Then no, yeah. I don't.
Okay.
My fest boots, though, I also have strong calves, and my fest boots. Thankfully, they are Catskills that are made for my body. Because it my calf is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually, when I went to Son of Stanley, they measured my calf and they were like, I don't know that you can wear anything in our shop.
Yeah.
I was like, well.
I spent years doing like Cossack dancing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
My calves were
strong. I've got stage combat and belly dance.
Yeah.
I got a lot of calf work.
Up on your toes a lot.
Up on the toes much. Lots of toe stuff.
A lot of bouncing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Autism. Walking around on the front of my feet a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is also like a Nero Spice divide between Salsa and me. The same as like sunscreen. Is it you don't like the additional sensory input? Yeah, I love it. I need it. It's for me, that's a feeling of like
that's
safety and happiness.
That's a fidget for you, whereas it's a distraction for me.
Huh.
Yep.
It's a swaddling.
Good word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also just like my clothing is armor. That's what I want. That's what I want.
I want to wear as little clothing as possible.
Uh huh.
I'm wearing clothing as a favor to Jenna right now.
Thank you, Salsa. Appreciate it.
Okay. Fast five. Question number three. Roll or deal. In a situation where you are playing against the Grim Reaper, hoping for another chance at life, would you choose a dice game or a card game?
I wouldn't. I'd be done, but...
Yeah, I know. I'm like...
This is a situation in which I have stated you are hoping.
Sure, I know. Yeah. I'm just...
The actuality is not... I'm good.
Yeah. I'm going to pick one, but I want to make it clear that I protest.
Right, we're of a generation.
I would go dice.
I would go with fiddle contest. Are we in Georgia?
And you gave him the gold fiddle? Well, he played really well. But you were also the judge of the competition. Oh, fuck.
No, I've read a really interesting thing about how giving him the golden fiddle was the more sinister thing.
Right, because of the pride and the avarice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That slowly festered and ate away his soul.
Yep. Mm.
Uh-huh.
I'm sticking with...
I might switch to dice, actually. Like, if it's a chance thing, just whatever. Mm-hmm. That's so much faster.
Yeah. I think a lot more dice games are very chance-based inherently, where a lot of card games have an element of chance, but they are strategic.
Yeah, yeah. It's that strategy that I don't think I could compete with death
on. I'm pretty good. I learned how to play poker with the Brusts. So, I'm actually very good at poker.
Sure.
I just don't think I'm beat the devil good or beat the Reaper good.
Yeah.
I'd rather just leave it up to chance and not beat myself up over it afterwards.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Yeah. Just roll that dice.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of the same. So, all right. Question number four, along or behind? You are co-starring in a production that hits it big. Would it hurt more to only be remembered as half of an iconic duo and have your solo work forgotten, or to be known for starting the duo and being left behind, even if your solo work is remembered and modestly successful?
I have been the founding member of so many different groups that I am no longer a part of.
Yeah.
Like, six different groups off the top of my head that I am no longer a part of. And I think there sometimes can be a little bit of a pain in that. Like, you don't remember that I did this thing. Like, but yeah, I want my own work to be recognized. So I think even though there is a little bit of a in that, I would rather have my own work remembered.
Mm-hmm. Just to try to understand the question.
Yeah.
Would it hurt more to have your solo stuff forgotten or your group stuff forgotten?
And be a part of, not even your group stuff forgotten, but
So the first one, would it hurt more to have your solo stuff forgotten?
You are part of the show.
Let's also finish.
Okay, right. Okay, go
ahead. You're part of a group and you're remembered for that, but your solo stuff is forgotten.
Yes, and the show hits it very big.
Right.
And you're part of that bigness.
But you're part of that, but the solo stuff is threatened.
Yes.
Or start a thing, and that goes on to fame, and the fact that you were started it is forgotten, but your solo stuff is remembered.
You just aren't part of it hitting it big,
but you're
remembered.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. As someone who helped start it.
I'm fine.
I may have misunderstood the second part then.
Yeah. I'm fine with the first one.
Okay.
Like, if I'm part of a group that hits it, a duo that hits it big, who cares if people remember my solo stuff? I'm still a part of a thing that's big. Awesome. Being a part of something that I started and then went on to fame after I left, I think would hurt a little more.
Yeah.
That. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd
like the Fondazzi.
We've all got examples.
Yep.
Like I said, I've got like six off the top of my head.
Yep.
So yeah, I chose along, some personal experience, but also just imagining, like, having, like you said, having your work as an individual artist completely erased by this other thing would be kind of painful.
It's still an artistic endeavor that you're a part of.
It is. And I mean, that's the...
Yeah, well, and the reason, the way I said it, I understood your context differently. In the way, very similar to what Salsa was getting at, which is why I wanted to hear him finish his thing. Because that's what I heard the first time. So I think... I think my answer is now the same as Salsa's for those reasons. Because, in that, I'm okay with my solo work not being remembered if I am a part of a thing. But only being remembered as barely a person that helped start a thing that took off without me. And no, you gave no context on solo work, well, that just sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, the first scenario, I mean, even if you're working with a partner, you're still doing an artistic thing.
And doing partner work.
Yeah, so do I. And but it's still something. You're still creating. Just because it doesn't have to only be you for it to be a you thing.
Yeah.
You're still doing it. Abbott and Costello would not be Abbott and Costello if Abbott was not with Costello.
Abbott and Costello was something that I was thinking
of. I would kill to be part of Abbott and Costello.
I was also thinking of Mystery Science Theater, right? Some of the original people who helped make it, some of them more obviously, more visibly than others, did not take part in the later, larger success.
Yeah.
of Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, I think that one would hurt a little more.
I think so too.
Okay.
But I also feel like having always being part of that duo, never getting your Paul Simon moment, but always being Simon and Garfunkel.
I mean, but you can still be Paul Simon. You can still do the solo stuff and get... Because, I mean, I do my artistic stuff not necessarily for the accolades I get. I get it because I have something in it that I want to do. And if I'm still part of Simon and Garfunkel, awesome. I can still go and be Paul Simon, even if nobody gives a shit.
I'm imagining it kind of like being Paul McCartney and having people demand you play Beatles songs.
Yeah, but I can still do that.
You know, I
can still go into the studio and create.
Yeah.
I don't care if people... I mean, I do this podcast for 15 years or however the fuck long. Nobody's listening to this.
I'm sorry, what are you talking about now?
I don't know. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What's next?
Fast Five, question number 5. Sun or Moon... Which thing has adulthood ruined more for you, summer days or staying up late?
Staying up late better.
Has it?
Yes.
Then summer days would probably be your answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, adulthood absolutely ruined summer days because now I hate being sweaty and gross. And as a kid, I didn't care. So, yeah, that one.
That was part of it. Also, just like... During the summer, that was your freedom.
See, staying up late for me used to mean staying up until, like, basically the sun came up. And now staying up late for me is, like, 10.
Yep.
Like, I'm real tired right now, you guys. Not gonna lie.
Same. Big same.
So, like, I'm gonna say staying up late. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I got.
But I chose summer, sun. Because I just miss having like 2.5 months of just
no school.
Indolence.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
That's what festivals are for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do we need fast fives?
We do. In case you hadn't noticed, we don't have any in the hopper. That means you should probably go write some.
Yeah.
If you would like to go submit a fast five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on submit a fast five, and fill out the form. It's really fucking simple.
So you're going to go buy some tickets.
Yep.
And then you're going to send in a fast five.
Yep. In that order.
And then you can continue driving to work.
Yes.
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 Yep.
I don't care if you're going to be late for work. Stop the car.
Pull over.
Get those tickets.
Don't just stop it.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't stop in the middle of 62. That'd be awful.
Yeah. Safely pull over and cease moving in a forward manner so you can pull out your phone and do the things that we have enumerated.
Yes.
And if these instructions are too difficult for you, I can't help you any further. Does anybody have anything to give a shout out for?
I'm going
to
give a shout out to my staff and my board and all the producers and the artists and the technicians. Oh, my God. There was a tech meeting yesterday for the getting tech set up for the venue and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Everybody's been busting their asses and working so goddamn hard. And little bonus shout out to Duck and Nyssa, the executive director and artistic director of the Horror Festival, because they've been busting their asses the most. Not gonna lie. So major shout out to everybody involved with the festival. I am so fucking excited, you guys. This is gonna be a good one. This is gonna be a good one.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah,
James.
My shout-out is going to be to Charles' best friend, former landlord, because his house is the place where all of these quarterly lands are hosted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken to, like, 3D printing little collectible badges that we stick on the sides of our computer cases and stuff to commemorate having been at particular land parties and things
like
that.
It's like your own little con.
It is. It's so nice. It's a really pleasant thing.
Hmm.
I like it. So, yeah, thanks.
I'm going to give mine to the Waseca County Historical Society. It's a little cute museum. It used to be a church. They turned it into a museum, and now they do little things in, you know, rural Minnesota, which is always positive. They're great. Does anybody have anything to plug? I feel like Jenna might have something to say.
Do you guys
say?
Have anything to plug before I plug mine?
Nope.
I do.
God damn it. Go ahead.
The brand new Vilification Tennis site is up.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, vil10.net.
Mm. Woo, .net.
Yep.
.net. Nice. Speaking of websites, tchorrorfestival.com. Go there, get your tickets. Show up at the Crane Theater just randomly. Just be like, I don't know what I'm going to see. And we'll be like, that's sold out. Sorry, friend. So go to the website. Like, get your tickets.
Sir, it is 4 a.m. There's nothing going on right now.
We have so much going on. There's also like little side events that happen. There's card reading and some merchandise from a few local artists. We have our own merch. Mm-hmm. There's just... Horror Fest. Fest the Horror. Mm-hmm. Horror the Fest. Twin Cities, do it.
Go and just rub elbows with other people who are like-minded in
I'll
their
I'll be there
viewings.
Most of the time. You can just show up and chit-chat with me. Mm-hmm. I'll be and actually seeing very few shows. My goal is to see a bunch of the 10:30 shows because nobody else will be. Like, I want to, except for the ones that are selling out. Except for the studio
except
shows. But yeah, if you're looking for a late night buddy to watch a show with, I'll probably be seeing whatever 10:30 show there is. Cool. Come hang out with me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And there will be a link to that in the show notes, of course. Mm. Does anybody have anything else? Any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to James for filling in on that Fast Five. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can get some ones from the listeners soon.
Let's all hope.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.